Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Listen, I saw the clouds very thick, and the rain was coming from afar, but then it began to gravitate towards us. Listen, every dry ground today will begin to yield. I said every dry ground will begin to yield. I said every dry ground will begin to germinate because of the rain of heaven. I want you to thank God this morning for the rain of heaven. Thank Him for the rain of heaven. Thank Him for the rain of heaven. Thank Him for the rain of heaven. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, we ask that you have your way this morning. I hide behind the cross and I ask that only Jesus will be seen. And only Jesus will be glorified. I am nothing and I cannot do anything without you. Therefore, I ask that, Lord, you empower me and you put your words in my mouth and put your power upon my lips. That every word that is spoken today will break through the resistance and bring great deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and bless the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Psalm 110, we'll read from verse 1 to 5. Psalm 110, from verses 1 to 5. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. For the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. For the people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. For the Lord has sworn, and he will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 5, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Hallelujah. Now I want us to do a brief, we'll just look at this very briefly. My first consideration is in the first verse. There are two lords. One is in full caps, the other just barely spelled out. The first Lord in the rendition is Jehovah. That's the original translation. That word the Lord said. That first Lord is the word Jehovah. And the second Lord means master. Owner, controller. So this is a messianic psalm that speaks to Jesus. And I want you to follow me briefly. So this was a conversation that was going on in heaven. And David, through the instrument of worship, tapped into that conversation. So the Lord said to his son, sit at my right hand. This psalm was fulfilled. This conversation, David saw into it in his days, but it was fulfilled after Jesus went back to heaven. When the scripture said he sat down at the right hand of God Almighty. Now, for those who may still worry about why spiritual warfare is important, Please pay attention to the first verse. It was his father who said to him, sit until. So the word that is critical there is the word until. I will make your enemies your footstool. Now that statement in summary means warfare. In the spiritual realm, you do not gain ranking by making noise. You gain ranking by the amount of battles you have fought. In fact, in the military, I'm not sure you can become a general, except with respect to Nigeria, if you have not gone to war. It's not a political... In fact, a captain who has gone to war is more respected. So the way up is through battles. Your hands must be trained to war and your fingers to fight. The enemy will not spear you and say, oh, because she's nice. Nice is not a fruit of the spirit. One of the names of our God is the man of war. But you see, today is not even about, because I know a lot of people have the doctrine of warfare upside down, but I'm not here for them today. I want you to see an emphasis, the kind of conversations that go on in heaven, where the father said to his son, sit here. And is it possible that God is saying to you, stay by my side? Your face is too much in the camera. Yes. Come back, come and stay here. Say, I have said to them that the place of their strength is to sit still. That's what the scripture said. The place of their strength is to be still. So our warfare position is from the place of stillness, where we are only going to take a step because he has said move. If not, you will take some steps in the flesh, make some decisions, but the grace of God will not sponsor it. Because every time you try to fight for yourself, God refrains. Every time you feel you have something to say, and even God cannot persuade you, then you will have to raise the money to fund that argument when it starts. If you know what anger and terror can do into the what it can do in the life of a Christian, you will avoid it. When Moses lost his temper, he lost his ministry. The day he lost his temper, he lost his ministry. The day Peter lost his temper and rebuked Jesus, Jesus called him Satan. There is a level of strength you can accumulate by learning to sit in God's presence. Just being still. Say, be still and know that I am the Lord. That means there are certain dimensions of the revelation of who God is that will never come to a hyperactive person. Now, our Lord Jesus, Paul was teaching us, he said to us that we are seated in heavenly places with him. And the conversation here for the Son of God is a conversation that also applies to us. The Bible says that after God made the earth and created everything, the Bible says he rested. Knowing when to rest. And the word rest does not mean sleep. It means resting in the goodness of God, in the mercy of God, knowing that he who has started a good work in you will not abandon you until he has brought it to the day of Christ complete. That means God does not appreciate halfway projects. But if you read the scriptures, you will find many halfway projects, like Saul. If you are growing in authority, maybe as a spiritual leader, or you work in a company, or you're management staff, or you have a very beautiful career ahead of you, I want to beg you to go and study the life of Saul. Truly, it is safe to say you don't know men until you give them power. The day this man was going to be anointed or chosen as ordained as king, he ran away. He hid under the bush. And everybody said, oh, this man is very humble. And when they dragged him out, like in those days on campus, when we would announce our new escorts, they'll be crying. President will be crying. It's the only one, the president is always crying. You know, they're always crying. The VP will just cack, just nothing. Because he was thinking he would be the president, so he's angry. So now we have another brother. We just cack. I cannot do it. Give him 3 weeks. All of you came late for workers' meeting. Can you please stand up? Please go to the left side, to the hall of shame. Is it not Brother Matthias? He's a pastor now. He's pastor. Don't call him brother. Don't move your name to the hall of shame. When we are in a season of warfare, many Christians make a primary mistake of thinking that, oh, it is my, I'm winning because I'm praying. Now, prayer is a requirement in warfare. Fasting is a requirement. But don't make the mistake. The devil is not afraid of you. He's afraid of the person behind you. He said, it is the words that I speak. That are what? Spirit and life, not your words. It is the word of the Lord in your mouth that becomes so potent that Satan cannot resist you. That is why the word of God must become flesh in your heart. When you meditate on it, when you study it, you must allow the word of God possess you and become, find root and extensions in you. Because the devil doesn't care what you say. People have been talking for the last 6,000 years. But why would two brothers, one would say, go in Jesus' name, and the devil goes. Another say, go in Jesus' name, and the devil now moves in with his bags. You see, understanding the throne religion, I call this the throne room religion, the religion of learning, drawing your strength and your validation from being with God, not activity. Drawing your strength, your authority stems from, this is a man of the presence of God. This is a man of the presence of God. That is, I'm saying you should not be a visitor to God's presence. Most of us are conveniently and comfortably visitors. But what did God say to his son? He said, sit here. Just sit here. Everything will be all right. Sit here. I will fight your enemies. And believe me, when the Lord says to you, sit here, that becomes the most difficult thing to do. When the Lord says, don't apply anywhere, stay where you are, I will bless you. Say, ah. When it seems like you have lost something very tangible, and God says, don't worry, I'll bring it back to you. See, even when it has to do with money, it doesn't take God 5 minutes to move you from 2,515 naira, 20 kobo, to $5 million. It doesn't take him 5 minutes. When you become a man of the presence, one of the things you will realize is you begin to understand who he is. How that there is nothing impossible in his environment. How that you could wake up today thinking, what will I eat this morning? And by that evening, you are having to rush to the computer village to get a laptop because somebody just made an offer. And you need a walking system. You need to eat the road. That's for somebody. If you celebrate 100 million, what about $100 million? When I read the words of Jesus, or when I think about them, sometimes I'm asking, do you really mean what you are saying? Because he said, fret not, little children. It is your Father's desire to give you the kingdom. Do not be afraid. Your Father wants to give you a kingdom. But you are in a phase in your life and you are battling with many unanswered questions. You are battling with where you are right now. Things are not really working out. Or you are, the way some people put it, I'm just on my own. Some people you keep, I want to come visit you. And they say, no, don't come. It's because they don't have anything to give you. It's not that they are sadists or they are recluse. Some people don't have food to eat. Some are just trying to manage these two slices of bread. Then they die. When God asks us to sit with him, it is because he wants to introduce us to who he is, the side of him that most people have never met. Most people know him when he manifests his power, but most people don't know that he is power. That power is not really an item for him. He is power. But you will not also know that God, beyond God loves you, that he is love. But when you sit with him, then you see the way he administrates and he rules in the affairs of men. And he says to this one, this is time. It's your time. And the moment God says, it is your time, the elements of nature begin to work in your favor. All of a sudden, you are not too old for anybody anymore. All of a sudden, you are not overqualified or underqualified. All of a sudden, you are the perfect fit. All of a sudden. Because Baba said, it is time. Now, as you journey through life, you must watch out for those seasons that we refer to popularly as Kairos, or in local language parlance, we say appointed time. God is a God of appointment, which means no matter how you pray, there is a time he has determined that certain things will happen. Your own side of the equation is that you will not miss that time. Alright? That is your own side of the equation. Unfortunately, to be able to find yourself in the center of divine and spiritual activity, you must be in the spirit. Because God is spirit. You must be in the spirit so that when the information is flying, you start having visions, you start having dreams. God will start speaking to you. A lot of people get breakthroughs from God and they lose their connection to the source. The source of that breakthrough. They lose it. They are now spending a lot of time trying to keep the miracle. Meanwhile, what God said is, sit down here. You are talking too much. You are fighting your battles. Sit here. See the way we do things here. God, you sit there and you... Russia is fighting and God is just calm. He's just calm. Hey, God, won't you avenge the souls? Will you avenge the souls of your martyrs that have been killed? He said, it's not time. God stood there and watched those evil guys, they stoned Stephen to death. And while Stephen was dying, God gave him a vision again. Can you imagine? You are going through death. They did not send an angel. Or even an archangel. Or even an angel that can sing. Let's assume you don't have power, but you can sing. Even one angel would be enough to scatter all those boys with stones. God did not work that way. So, will it be right to say Stephen died premature? But how many of us will accept that verdict today? So, And can you see the dexterity and the eloquence that even Peter did not have, with which Stephen was able to teach the word of God as he was dying? Peter didn't have that. Such a person should have been kept alive. But the father said, no, it is on your blood that we will take the Gentile nation. And there was a man that was standing there holding the suits and the garments of everybody who was stoning Stephen. Bring your suit, let me hold it for you. No, don't go like, don't stain your white. Give me that one. Give me your wristwatch. Give me your phones. Now finish him off. He was hailing them. Kill him! Useless. Fools. Confusing people everywhere. And while Stephen was dying, his mantle was lifted from him and came upon the man. Upon the man whose name was Paul. No activity in your life is coincidence. You are the one who has failed to see the link. There is nothing in the spirit realm that is a mistake. Somebody pushed something, somebody triggered something, and then it led to something. Paul later in his life will make reference to that day as the day everything started. But do you know that even that day, Saul would have gone home? Say, yes. One down. 12 to go. By the time we take out the 12, we will have peace. Not knowing that a work had already started. The scripture says when Stephen was being stoned, he said, oh, I see the glory of God. And the people became even more furious. And they stoned him at the head and he died. Ah! And one of the people there, rejoicing, had won a garment for which he did not pray for. Some of you are praying, give me the mantle of Babalola. Give me the mantle. This guy didn't pray for anything. If anything, he felt fulfilled running Satan's agenda. But on a particular day, again on his mission, nobody could preach to Paul. Because Paul was not just arrogant, Paul was lettered. Huh? In matters of the law, he was not an ignorant person. He's not like Peter, whose only grace is anointing. Paul can talk you out of Christianity. Paul can tell you why you can be gay and be a Christian. See, because it's our spirits that are saved. Paul will tell you, it's our spirits. That Jesus said, those who have the Father has given to me, none of them shall be missing. Once you are saved, forever saved. He will tell you. Say, wow, hallelujah, I like that, your church. I will not go to Harvest Hall again. They're always shouting. This one, you say, once I'm born again, you say, yeah. That, okay, now, do you think your father can disown you? Say, no. Your physical father, how much more God? Hallelujah. That guy was walking on the road of Damascus and then he saw a bright light. That is all it takes to start a journey. When God breathes his light, all of a sudden there's an illumination. All of a sudden you are beginning to see something. All of a sudden you become aware. All of a sudden you realize that every battle you fought, every pain, every tear you shed was to bring you to a point where you can sit still. So that God can now, you know, fight your enemies and bring them under your footstool. The greatest place of spiritual warfare and victory is God's presence. Now, before, and I hope I'm not jumping ahead of myself. Okay. Quickly, I'm actually jumping, but let me just throw this in. In verse 5. Please jump to the fifth verse. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. So I was looking up the word used for kings. Normally I would not check that, but I just went. That word kings is the word melech. From where you have Moloch. You know Moloch? Moloch is one of the ancient gods in the Bible. It's a principality. Ancient gods. Moloch, Malcolm, all of them are rooted together. That word kings is not talking about your earthly kings. So it's talking about princes. And I've spoken a lot about this guy. Now, you remember I said to you that when you are dealing with principality, you cannot engage directly. It's like you people are not here this morning. Because some of you are still binding principalities and powers. You now wonder why you're having problems. Who did the striking? The reason why the Lord said sit is so that he could strike. The moment you jump start the process of defending yourself, you expose yourself. You become high risk. He said the Lord at the right hand shall strike through Moloch. Moloch is the god in the scripture that accepts child sacrifice. This is the god in charge of abortion. All right, are you here now? I say this is the god in charge of what? Abortion. When you went to that boy's house, whatever it is that you did, you got a result that was positive to the glory of God, and then now you went somewhere else to hide again to remove the baby. What you called it was abortion. What the Lord called it was what? Sacrifice. For everybody who has been that route, except you have found mercy of the Lord, you offered a baby to Moloch. Now, when a person goes through that, you navigate that angle, and you have shed blood before, you are not likely going to get, if you are lucky, you may get just some demon spirits terrorizing you. But a lot of times, like over this nation, Israel, they had Moloch. Moloch stood over their heads. Alright? Moloch stood. That means one of the things they were contending with as a nation. And Israel struggled with this thing. This Moloch guy. If you read the book of Kings, 2 Kings and 1 Kings, you will find that one of the idols that they struggled so much to be free from was Moloch. Because Moloch doesn't really require your holiness or whatever. Bring your child. Do you remember that king that the Lord by prophecy said Israel will win that battle? God was the one that spoke. Because somebody say, Pastor, if all these things shall say, why did it not happen? My brother, this is a marketplace. And we go with highest bidder. There are people that if the Lord blesses them with 1.5 million, they will hide the money even from God. They will hide it. Even God will not know. I'm telling you. See, he's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. And there are at least three areas of your life that God must claim in order to claim you. Number one, he will claim your body. And your body here, I refer to your sexual purity, your sexual life. Everywhere is quiet, bro. People don't like this guy. I said the Lord will claim your sexuality. Let me repeat. The Lord will claim your what? You must be holy unto the Lord. Somebody is asking, but it's not easy. We have not gotten to that part yet. I'm only telling you, giving you a course outline. You know, you can be in Lagos and not hear this one for 1 year. This one line, you may not hear it for 1 year. Okay, so don't be angry. Secondly, you cannot claim that you belong to God if God doesn't have control over what you do with money. If God doesn't have control over what you do with money, he's your savior, but he's not your Lord. And if some of you think it's quite easy, that's why he said, sit at my... Only dead people can follow Christ. You have to be completely dead
for you to have just one cup of rice in your house and God says, give it to your neighbor. You have to be completely mad. That woman had a child, and yet the prophet said, bring that last food. Because your next breakthrough is on the other side of your obedience. If the woman had kept the meal, she would have eaten and everybody would be fine. But it would take eternity for her to realize what the outcome could have been. God must claim your sexuality. He must have control over your money, your finance. Huh? If many of us would just give heed, and I'm not talking about being perfect here, I'm talking about you actually finding your way to God's presence and sitting down there. Don't be a visitor again. Live there. Live in God's presence. And living in God's presence is more of a mindset thing. Please, are you here? It's more of a mindset thing. You may be somewhere, maybe around your kitchen, or you may be on your system or your computer, and you just find that it's, well, let me speak for myself. It's actually, you are just a millisecond away from knowing that God is there. Like, you can just move. And you don't really need anything to charge your spirit. And your mind is stayed on Him. Your mind is there with Him. You just need a flicker of thought, and then you are actually there, conscious. Conscious. This is the greatest place of strength, because most people cannot stay with God. Most people feel that staying with God means that you lose time, you lose years, and God will abandon you, people will abandon you, and time will not count for you. That's what people think. And you may not actually know that your decision to stay with God, you are actually making progress, but you don't know. You may not know. Destiny beckons to us. You got to see. Look, why would God say to His own Son, sit down? Sit down. I know you want to wrap this thing up. Sit down. Sit down. There are some battles you cannot fight, especially if you have touched a pillar you are not supposed to touch. The Bible talks about not moving the ancient landmarks. Every time you move ancient landmarks, you create a gap for spirits to fill that place. I once prayed for a lady. I'd led somebody to Christ. So the person met this young girl, just new in faith. And the lady tried to bring him back to the world. So he came to report the matter to me, that this girl doesn't want me to be a Christian. You see, the problem with many of us is that when we talk about it, we make it sound like you are being matured. There's nothing being matured about anybody taking out of Christ. This girl wants me to leave Christ. Say it. What do you mean by we're in the same room? You know, we're always talking, we're doing assignments. Hey, this girl wants me to stop following Jesus. The moment you say, your eyes will just open. But you want to be matured. Actually, we've been working on the project together. We're assigned to the same team. This girl has been sent to take me away from Christ. Everybody is sent to, but who your master is, we need to investigate. When you sat with Tina, you are completely calm and focused on the project. But when you sat beside Bisola, no words were spoken, but you felt the energy. No matter how Pastor Wenga, you will never fall under anointing. But now you, just sitting down here, you start saying, blood of joy. You are there. This girl has been sent to lead me away from Christ. The moment you labor, everybody's eye will clear. So the question now is, do you want to go with Bisola or do you want to stay with Tina? Because there are certain pillars, once you touch them, a spirit like Moloch can be assigned to you. And when that spirit doesn't hear in Jesus' name, that spirit doesn't hear, I bind you. It is the Lord that will strike. Even the Lord, you notice God did not speak to Moloch. He said, he will strike. That means that strike, the same way God struck Dagon, and he broke to pieces. It has to be a strike. It has to be a strike. Because Moloch know they agree, know they hear. This kind of spirits, you cannot be gentle with them. And you need a thunder strike. Boom! Because the hold of this, see the way Moloch will hold some people. No matter your prayer, you will pray for nine vigils, 7 nights, with prayer and fasting. This is how Moloch will hold you. So if you cannot be free of Moloch, why don't you drag Moloch to God's presence? Let's sit down together. One day God just say, who is this? Stranger! Bam! You just have one dream that night and your freedom has started. Please understand. Be very careful. Actions have consequences. There are doors. Once you push them open, you cannot control what comes in through that door again. You cannot. You cannot pray and close the door. Once you open it with your hands, God said, I will strike through these kings. I will strike. Give me that scripture again. That's the fifth verse. Now, some of you may not believe what I'm saying about Moloch, but if your Bible has a concordance or a strong, just click that word kings here and see what it shows you. Now, look at the word kings. Plural or singular? Talk to me now. So, which means there are many of them like this. There are many of them like this that create walls of resistance around God's people. Walls of resistance. And God says, my son, if you want to deal with this thing in your family, come and sit down. Come and sit down. Come with your Bible. Come with your jotter and your pen. Buy a lot of Bibles because you will write. Stay here. Sleep here. When I have seen your faithfulness in this matter, I myself will strike the head of the serpent. Now, I want you to know that from verse 1 up to this point, God is addressing only one thing. When the Lord calls me to sit in His presence, what are the kind of activities that the Lord expects me to be involved in? Number one, every time a prophet in the scripture had the privilege of seeing God's presence, they observed that there was a lot of worship. Are we together? There was a lot of what? Worship in God's presence. So one of the things you will need to learn to retain your seat there is the ability to worship God in spirit and in truth. Most of us, when we sing from here. Huh? Or we sing from emotions. Because everybody likes that song. It's trending. We only sing trending songs. But when you get to this place, you sing from here. Your belly, out of your belly. It's Moloch. So you will learn the art of worship. No keyboard, no drum, regardless of whatever is not working in your life. But when you stand in His presence, you can sing and just the song becomes a transport system. The song carries you from level to level, height to height, until you are so filled with joy. Because how you will know you are traveling is that for every level, God will be giving you joy. He will give you joy. You have joy unspeakable. And you'll be full of what? Of glory. The Bible talks about joy unspeakable, full of glory. This is something that the church must recover. It's not in the stage lights. Those things are good. I'm talking about your own proximity to heaven. where you open your voice, you open your mouth, and your voice is recognizable in heaven. So worship is one of the primary activities. And when I speak of worship, I'm talking about the ability to sing and to glorify God. And not just to sing and glorify God, but to allow your body model what your heart is responding to.
You're the Lord God Almighty, the earth is full of your glory. You're the Lord God Almighty, the earth is full of your glory.
I have said the Lord always before me. That's why we sing. This is our song. When you begin to spend a lot of time, the Lord Himself will teach you how to worship. You can't force it on anybody. It's easy to know who lives there and who doesn't. Those who have visited that place and stayed there, they are always worshippers. Because in that realm, in that dimension, the glory of God is so evident, it makes every mountain look small. If you have ever seen angels worshiping, or if you have ever heard the songs of angels, you will not be so excited at many of the things we sing today or we do. Because worship has to be pure because of the man, the person we are singing to. That is one of the activities that we must carry out when He has asked you to sit, to give Him pleasure. To give Him pleasure. A lot of people will say you are a fool. They will say you are not doing what you should do. But when they ask you, why are you here wasting your time? Say, the Lord of hosts said I should sit. So you go and get your guitar. And if you cannot play a guitar, go online and look for some very good music ministers like Theophilus and let them do their own thing for you. And then you learn how to travel with songs. A lot of us are praying, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes, God wants you to just sit and observe. See how the court sessions in heaven are officiated or administered. Because we are talking about princes. We are talking about spirits that look at you and think you are nothing. Just by looking at you, they tell you are nothing. Yes, indeed, you have Jesus Christ in you, but these are master spirits. It takes God Himself to say, for the Lord shall move Satan from under your feet. It takes the Lord to speak. Not just your prayers. It takes the Lord to speak. It took the Lord to send an angel before Daniel's messenger came. It took the Lord. Daniel did not even know that he was under siege. He thought he was just praying for 21 days. Not knowing that there was resistance by a ruling prince. Give me verse 2, please. Second verse. For the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, saying, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. And I was inquisitive. I started to look at that word, strength. The word strength. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. I began to investigate that. Do you know one of the words that can be, that word is Oze, O-Z-E, Oze, and one of the meaning is praise. One of the meanings of that word strength is what? Is what? Praise. Come on, are you tracking or are you sleeping? Because I need to be sure somebody is seeing this. Can you see where your authority is? I told you, I said there are activities of the throne room. And I told you one of it is to learn how to worship God. And the Lord is saying this is where he will send your authority from. Now, if you had to praise God when everything was alright, it may not be the same as though when you have a lot of unanswered questions. When you have somebody go, Lord, why did this happen? Why am I going through this? When you are able to lift the altar and the sacrifice of praise in the midst of your challenges, God releases strength. And that strength, that rod, has only one commandment. Rule in the midst of your enemies. God is not going to take away your enemies. He will put you right in their midst. But the more they contend, every contention increases your anointing. Every contention increases your authority. Did you know this guy is untouchable? He's not, because you know, the guy had a word. The word was rule in the midst of your enemies. How will it be glorious if there was nothing to contend? If you have so much power and there's nowhere to execute it, what's the point? So God will surround you with a lot of contentions. But in the midst of that, those things will be feeding your anointing, because the anointing responds to contest, to contention. You might have the anointing that could raise the dead, but you just, nothing's happening because there's no dead man here. That word strength also means power. It also means boldness. You must make up your mind to become a child of praise. Because God has committed himself to those who are sworn that out of their lips will come forth the praise of God. You may not know this, but you go and try it. And I'm not really talking about just singing as much as I'm talking about you actually worshiping God. There's a thin line somewhere in between. So God has given us a mandate for dominion. Now you cannot execute dominion without territorial power. You cannot execute dominion without financial power. You cannot execute dominion without spiritual power. And for each of these layers of dominion, the Lord must find you faithful to be able to give these things to you. There is a door that is called wealth. It is the Lord that opens it. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes it rich and adds no sorrow. So there is a door. There is a door. There is a door that is called marital fruitfulness or joy. That door, only Jesus opens it.
When the Lord was going to, you know, hand over the church to Peter, why do you think Peter qualified? Peter was always with him.
God doesn't commission strangers, very rarely. He can use them temporarily, like a donkey. But if God really is telling you to sit with him, he has a long-term plan for you. Long-term. Something that even your children can later grow up and come into. So God is not a fool. When he says sit here, it's because he will make time count for you. Others are running to catch up with time, and God says, I will make time count for you. If there ever is a need, I will also make the earth stand still for you. You must understand this requirement so that you are not missing. And you are not confused. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. These words are already in the scripture. Now, look at the second verse very quickly. Sorry, the third verse. For your people shall be willing in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of your youth. The word power there means an army, a military consignment. So God understands that when a man is commissioned, that man is never allowed to travel alone. You may not be aware that ministering spirits have been assigned and commissioned to you. And I sometimes wonder how frustrated these angels must be. Seeing somebody who sat in church for 4 hours, got to the gate, he has not taken the bus, just at the gate there. And you are already discounting the word of the Lord. You are already saying, this thing will not work. Because the Lord has given these angels charge over you. The angels are not waiting for your instruction. They have received their mandate. You can't command any angel. No apostle did it in the scripture. Even our Lord Jesus said, if I so wish, I will ask my Father and he will send me angels. If you want angels to come here, you ask. You have to be careful of American gospels, where you command angels. You may be commanding a demon, and you may not even know. Say that people shall be willing in the day of this power. Now, there is something I want to bring out of this scripture, which is that every time you begin to come into a Kairos moment, you are coming into a season that God has appointed for you, all of a sudden you will experience willingness of men. They will come around you. People want to support you. People want to guide you. People want to push you forward, assist you on your journey. See, the Bible talks about willingness. Give me that scripture here. It says the people shall be willing. There's a willingness. That is one of the ways we know the direction to which God is many times leading us. You may not hear a voice, but you will find that there is a willingness. The Lord is just allowing sometimes people, like-minded people, Christians, believers, sometimes they are just asking, why don't you go in this direction? All of a sudden, it doesn't even matter if the person hates you. They are willing to help. Always watch out for those things in your journey. You find that all of a sudden there is a well of willingness along a particular area. You may want to give that area a lot of consideration by going back to God and say, Lord, what is in this place for me? Everybody seems to be talking about this thing. And how many of you know that our brother Joseph in the Bible, He was the only one who did not know the meaning of his dreams. His brothers, who were vagabonds, they heard the dream only once and they knew the meaning. Isn't that amazing? The brother that received the heavenly vision didn't know what it meant. He was so naive, and you should not be naive. It can cost you your destiny. You should not be so naive. You know, he says, I see, I had this dream. Brother, I had this dream. Said, you want to rule over us? They knew. That was where the battle started. When you started telling people about your visions, God told me, I'm going to be great. My voice is going to be all around the world. Even if the Lord were to open the heavens, shall these things be? Out of all of us, you. No certificate. You didn't finish school. God said you. God left me and chose you. There's a way people will address you. Even that vision will just die naturally. It will just die. But by the time you get home, your landlord is at the door waiting for you. No light, no water. Your rent is due. So this your global vision has to die here. Because you are not going anywhere. Permit me to also put this at your feet. That many times after a season of waiting upon the Lord, seeking the Lord, fasting and praying for 21 days, the next person you will meet is the devil. Some of you will notice that immediately after this fasting, you started facing some attacks. High level ones. Who knows what I'm talking about now? Aha. So that means the prayer has not ended yet. There's, in my old church, there's something we call closing prayer. If in your former church you have closing prayer, raise your hand. So, because some of you are looking at me like, my church is the only one that does closing prayer. Closing prayer, that prayer is what we use to round up everything. We have not done we have not shared the grace. You said fasting is over. And you went to eat. Meanwhile, after Elijah called down fire, the next person that encountered him was Jezebel. Don't be naive. The first few periods or seasons or days or weeks after a major waiting upon the Lord should not be careless for you. Be attentive. Chike can call you suddenly. Chike. Okay, how many of you have ever resisted calling a person you know you should not call? Like you just feel like talking to this person. Like, I have a few sins everywhere. Like, God bless you. You just like, let me send a message. If I send a message now, you knew this thing would be trouble, but your hands were itching. They're at your doorstep. You must know what your destiny requires, though. The sacrifice your destiny requires. For Daniel, it was holiness. How he uses his tongue, not eating anything offered to idols, maintaining his stance and praying according to the watches. He knew. If you don't know what your destiny requires from you, you are copying me. Me that God said I should be singing and be rejoicing forevermore. But you are called to be a warrior. Your sword should be as long as from this place to the end of the earth. Your sword. You are not making friends. Someone will say, there's no battle. Jesus has done it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You now went on vacation. Because you met Brother Timothy. And Brother Timothy said, there's no warfare. Meanwhile, God said to his own son in Psalm 110, say, sit here till I make your enemies. Even in the throne room, Jesus had enemies. Even in the throne room, they were still fighting. The devils he defeated were still saying, no. Say, don't fight them again. Sit down. I will answer them. And that day is coming. Amen. I said that day is coming. Amen. The day that death will die. Huh? The day that death will die. The day that the grave will not have power over us again. Amen. That day is coming. Amen. The Bible says on that day, and in that day, it said the grave will open and release all the souls. If you have lost a loved one, as long as they are in Christ, don't worry. The day will come. Eh? Even if they cremated the body and burnt it with fire. When the trump shall sound, the ashes will begin to gather. You will see bodies forming in the air, forming with bones. Huh? Because a trumpet went forth. He said, thy people shall be willing in the day of power. It's very important to identify those people who, for this season, the Lord is saying, these are your companions, your journey mates, people you travel with. Again, when we speak about this throne room religion, we are speaking about the domain of power. In verse 3, same scripture, the Bible speaks of the womb of the morning. 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 I want you to look at that. From the womb of the morning. From the womb of the morning, you can possess the dew of your youth. Anything that is happening to you in this phase of your life was either something you possessed earlier or you lost. That's why the solution to some people's problem is not as easy as in Jesus' name we have prayed. It's not as easy. While in the womb of their morning, there was an abortion. Something did not form right. It's good to come to church and listen to a motivational message, but a motivational message cannot help you journey as somebody pregnant with destiny. And you journey till you are able to bring forth successfully, and then your youth, when you now become a young person, it now shows that they did the work well. Because in that early part of your life, nobody will know what went wrong. It is when you become a young man. It is when you become a young woman. They will not say, what's wrong with this lady? Something is wrong with her. But it's now looking like, where do we start from? Where do we start from? You must possess. You see, this issue of staying in God's presence, this is one of the reasons why we must be there. So that we can become pregnant. Every season ahead of you, you have to be pregnant with it now. So that when you get into that season, everything just looks ready for you. You are not in a season of rest and you are walking. Please, is somebody with me now? This is just the third verse of that scripture. There is something that God refers to as the womb of the morning. When the day begins to break with new possibilities. When the day begins to break with new hope, fresh opportunities. God says you have to incubate that before it manifests. If you are getting any opportunity now, it is predicated on something you did before. There was something you carried in your loins and you prayed through. You prayed through. You prayed through. You prayed through. By the time it manifested, nobody could stop it. So this subject of prayer now becomes the second item that we must learn when we say we want to stay in God's house. The power of prayer. We must learn it. The ability to stay in God's presence. And you are praying. You are praying. Sometimes all you are praying for is the will of God in your life. Lord, I cannot afford to make a mistake. I have just one life. I want this life to count for you. Lord, guide me. You are just there, praying. Those are prayers you can pray for years, and it will prevent you, save you from the pressure of praying other prayers. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, please, are you with me now? Are you still here? Today is Love Feast too. It will be very painful if your voices now become very sharp. There seems to be a sound of joy that goes with food. So we must secure every season overnight. Because in the morning, we give birth. We must secure every season overnight. And I hope you know that in God's plan, the morning is not the beginning of a day. The evening and the morning were the first day. So the new day starts 6 p.m. today. Forget what the Englishman did. So when you say your age is not your real age, you have to calculate it from the day before. That April 25th is what the white man told you. But if you really use God's calendar, you are already in your birthday before your birthday. What is it about the night that God loves so much? What is it about the dark seasons? Because those are the places where God makes men. Those are the places God makes women. Those are the places God makes his champions. These are the areas and the places where God takes a man and hides him from shame, hides him from death. The Bible says God speaks to us in dreams so that he may hide us, seal our instruction, and hide us from destruction. God, let me manifest my destiny. Wait. One of the things God will teach you painfully, come and say painfully, is how not to do anything. Some of you don't understand what I just said, but very soon you will understand. I said one of the things that God will teach you painfully is how not to do anything. You will die, resurrect, die. You will die there. You will become angry at God. You will become frustrated. Am I the only Christian? I'm not even a pastor. Why are you doing this to me? Allow me marry. I want to marry.
Say, sit down.
I'm not sitting again. That's how you deceived me. We went to that church. I was 17. You told the pastor. You said there's a call upon my life. People were clapping. I was happy that God knows me. Now, I don't know where that pastor is. Every time I want to get this call, you will say, there's a destiny that is breaking forth. I'm not staying here again. Look at Sister Priscilla. She's married. Look at even this one that we know her story. She's working at Slum BJ. This other one just said God gave her a contract of 100 million. God, wait. Is it that people who follow you are supposed to suffer? No, just tell me. I want to know so we can agree if this relationship needs to continue. Why is it that those people that you love, you always delay them? Who knows what I'm talking about here? And the day he tells you resign, it will be very clear. You can't deny it. But the day you see Chike, say, God, is it Chike? He says, you are not sure. He's saying yes. He's saying no. You are not sure. But if you say, my daughter, bring that $100,000. It will be very clear. You will not even, you won't need a confirmation. You already know this is the Lord. God will allow you struggle like a sacrifice on the altar. Trying so hard not to die. You think that Ram is waiting for the knife to he's trying so hard. When I was young, we used to, you know, while I was in the north, we used to kill it. We had a lot of, you know, some of these goats and all. And I have, every time my dad killed one, I saw the way they died painfully. They struggled till they couldn't struggle again. So God will lead you to that path. You see, because what God wants to invest in you is undeniable power. Undeniable power. Undeniable. But he will not do it if you struggle with. The Bible says, woe is he that strive with his maker. As long as you are contending. Contending. Oh, Peter contended. God went for Paul. Say, don't eat this thing. He said, arise, kill and eat. Say, I cannot eat. I know you are Jesus Christ. You can do what you like. Here, we still they do Jewish religion. I know they chop. At least the guy was sincere, but the Lord was not happy with him. So I will show you that the reason why you cannot obey me is not because it is not in you. It's because you have chosen to be a stray, to stray away from me. I will go to a man like you, who is even more knowledgeable in the Jewish law, and he will obey me. And God went to the express to wait for Paul. God didn't go to his house. He went to the express and waited for him. You are just at the airport trying to take a flight, and the Lord was there waiting for you. Where are you going? Where are you going? Australia? No. 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 Australia? Not in the plan. No. You got to go back. Who art thou, Lord? Say, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Arise now and go into the city, and my servant shall come to you. That was how Paul started, though. Because one apostle somewhere. If you are somebody that has traveled with God for a long time, if you are not careful, you will be the one resisting the will of God. Many pastors don't pray to choose a wife. Say that find it a good wife. How do you find? How do you know that what you have found is a good thing? Isn't after 20 years, if she has not cut off your head? How do you know? Say that find it. How do you know that what you have found? Meanwhile, this subject of good thing was what that man came to Jesus to say, good master. Good master. What shall I do that I may? Jesus said, you probably, this is somebody to ask Solomon. Say, good, good, good. You too, you are here. Who is good? The man doesn't know. Until you see me as good, then I am not God. Jesus asked him a simple question. No one is good but God. Why are you calling me good? The man saw Jesus as a prophet, not as the living God. So that was the first area God wanted to fix. Unfortunately, the man left him because he had many riches. So that thing you are praying for can be the reason why you will not follow Jesus in the next 10 years. That thing you are praying for, that God, if you will do this. You know how many people we prayed for? It was the breakthrough that took them out of church. I told people I prayed, prophesied to somebody in one church some time ago. The person wanted to beat the pastor because of my prophecy. He could not face me. No, me, I'm muscular. So he could not face me. But he went to face the pastor. He wanted to face the pastor, thinking the pastor discussed with me. Until I told him an aspect of the prophecy that he didn't mention. He now knelt down. You don't need to kneel down. The Lord has seen your heart. All this kneeling down. Who is even good? As long as you must get to that place in your journey with God, where you just get to that place of rest. You are not struggling with God again. Do you know that the moment you begin to, and a lot of people who are struggling are not showing it externally. The moment you get to that place in your journey where you become offended at God. Offended at God. Number one, you cut yourself from the mercy of God. You cut yourself. There was a brother in the Bible that was offended at Jesus Christ and even sent, he wrote a letter. Took his time, wrote a letter. Go and give him. Are you the one that is to come? Because me, I'm thinking that even as per family, we are related. Even if you cannot consider that we are from Cross River together, consider the fact that we are both family and ministry partners. You are the one who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But now suffering has come. The man of God who gave that prophecy is no longer sure. That's a difficult place to be. May you not find yourself there. I was talking to my doctor. Hopefully she'll be around next Sunday. Hopefully. You know, from the UK. I asked her a question. I said, what's your relationship with the dead? Said, no, during medical school, there's a particular class. You go and sit down. I don't know who was it Yele that was even telling this story again? Yele, I mean, we spoke about this thing. They'll you sit in the midst of dead bodies and take a class. You will die and resurrect. You see why now when you come and say, doctor, I mean, my body, just looking at you. If you know what this doctor has seen. You romance a dead body. That class, like a whole semester, right? A whole semester. You bring your books, you sit down. Dead bodies, in between dead bodies. In between dead bodies. Yeah, class, let's start. What's the name of that course? Anatomy. So, let's continue from where we stopped last week. Then they will ask you to cut open. Some people will throw up there, thinking that this is somebody's father. This is another person who died young. This is a child. This is a young girl. God wants to train you to have a strong heart. This is a man, though. This is men. They put human beings beside dead bodies. Bodies that should be in the ground. Because they want to teach you. So that when you are operating tomorrow, you won't do mistake on their grandchildren. So I would have dropped out of medical school if I was. I don't think I can't take that rubbish. Can't take that. me. So I said to her, I said, as fine as you are. Say, I'm blank. Can't you touch. It's dead body. Dead. Ah. Thank God I didn't marry a doctor. But I would have put a big jar of sanitizer in front of the house. As you are coming, don't come and touch me without your hand. Anything you touch, wash it away before you come to me. And don't worry, I've eaten. Don't cook today. So to all of you who are married to doctors, God bless you. Because some of us are not made for this. But look at that level of training. Yes, you are here. You see, I'm saying this thing deliberately now. You know why? You know, there was a time recently I was talking about God moving us to the level of millions. But this morning, that millions was in dollars. But you see, pay attention. You see, money is a spirit. If you have not been found faithful with unrighteous mammon, what does that mean? If God has tested you before with money and you failed, or if that test could have come while working in an organization and you had access to resources and you kept some of it for yourself and you are forgotten, or maybe you are certain things in the office were kept in your care. They may not even be financial matter, money matter, but you did not administer them properly. So a case has been leveled against you that this one is not faithful. So let's keep him at level one. No matter how much you pray, God and Satan will agree that you are not ready. So I want you to understand how this thing works. Now, let me also tell you another aspect of financial recklessness that many of us have never thought about. Are you ready? It's called begging. Begging. Please tell your neighbor, begging. Now, you didn't see that coming. One of my friends rides a power bike, or he rides a jeep. I told this story before. I wanted to buy a power bike. When I was driving, end of discussion. So I just manage myself. I don't talk. This is the end of discussion. And he'll come to my office. You know, there's this bike I want to buy. You know, it's about it. As I did, it was 800,000. And I said, what do you need it for? He said, once I enter Lake, my office was at Muri Okonla in VI. Once I just navigate there, facing Lekki Phase 1, say, you know those traffic? I'll just navigate. I say, wow. I say, you've even priced. Say, yeah, there's even one for an auction now. I say, okay. What about your wife? What did she say? Say, no, don't worry about her. It was going. I said, sorry. my tank is even empty. Can I get some change? I say, you know, we don't have big dreams. We try to save our money. You that has dream of power bike and jet, I don't have anything that can benefit you. So maybe you should park the car in my office and take a bus. He said, Guze. He was trying to psych me. That was all my friends called. He said, Guze. I said, I've told the Lord, no waste time will enter my life this year. I didn't give him shishi. He said, this one, no, they give shishi. I told him, I said, wherever you get to at phase one, park the car on the road and check. When the Lord says sit, it's because it's time for us to talk and fix certain things. Sometimes while you are sitting, it will bring a companion. You will say, you are now two sitting here. It's part of the training for you to be talking. Most likely what you are looking for, that person could have passed that test and it will guide you. Alright? And vice versa. This is very important because as long as I pass that test, where there's nothing that is in my hands that I cannot give to God, there's nothing in my heart that I can withhold from Him, God now takes responsibility for opening the doors. And if He has to strike Molech, He will do it. This is what happens when sometimes they say, we wanted to attack a man of God and we got to his house and saw that we could not penetrate. He was surrounded by a wall of fire. Or we saw angels. Or we saw this or we saw that. Or we tried to poison him and he drank the thing and nothing happened to him. Because those kind of people are already dead men. They're already dead. They have signed a contract. Whether you bless me or not, we are here. We are here. Their mentors are not in Nollywood or the music industry. One, I was listening to one musician, one Christian, let me not say Christian, let me say gospel musician, because he said that he's hoping that with his type of music, he's very popular now, that it's going to blow. All right, that it's going to blow. And it's blowing. It does a lot of legwork and all those things. You see them online. The problem with that thing is that you will be popular with men, but with God, God only trusts dead men. God only trusts dead men. God only trusts people who come to Him without agenda. Without agenda. God only trusts people who come to Him and empty themselves. You see, this process of sitting is not simplistic. It's a training. Because some of us cannot even sit on one chair in our house for 30 minutes. I used to have a boss. If everywhere is quiet, she said, why is everywhere quiet? Have you done your call over? There's something you call over. Have you done your call over? Hey, Benga, what's the diesel level? Just scatter everybody. Because in her mind, I hope it's not that they are doing something under my nose. We're like, everywhere is quiet. She's a drama queen. Meanwhile, I just enjoy the fact that everybody can sit by a system and just do their thing. But for my boss, means something's going on. Somebody's spamming money somewhere. where's your call over? Where's your register? Did you sign it today? She must see something. When they start going out, they will see something. So there are people like that. So some people can't sit still. And God says, if you want to stay here in the place of power, sit, because even Baba, he has been sitting. Baba himself has been sitting. Have you ever heard that God left his throne? Now sit down with the sit down here. Give her a chair. You want to be with me? Oh yeah, sit down. Without PS4. Without Netflix. See, no. We are not doing Netflix this month. No, it's not you that wants to watch. I'm the one that... He said, no, we are not doing Netflix this month. It's on auto subscription. What do you call that? He said, okay, they can remove the money, but don't watch it. We are delete the app. He now comes to Brother Pat. Ah, now so this thing be. When I pray, God, use me or I die. Now like this he be. Say now so. But you didn't tell us. We know the third person. We know the third person. Now when you enter, you're going to know. I saw one of my professors and I asked him a question. This man used to look at me suspiciously from the corner of his eye. But recently I saw him like, Mr. Shafe. Okay, say pastor, pastor. I said, good afternoon. So I asked him a question. He looked at me. Then he told me, come back on Tuesday. He want, just a simple question. He said, we'll not answer. I said, come Tuesday next week, 12 p.m. I was at his office waiting for him. He said, yes, Mr. Shafe. You see, if you want to go far, there is a word that is known as discipleship. The man is not a Christian. Discipleship. For my relationship with you to work, you must be my disciple. There are battles you will face, not because you offended anyone, but because of me. There are things that will happen to you, not because you did anything wrong, but because people know you are associated with me. They will take it out on you. You must have the character to navigate it. Ooh. And I remember the words of our Lord. He said, many will hate you because of me. How many people are actually being hated? Now, I don't think we have anybody who is being hated these days. Everybody is like following the metrics, like my marketing manager. I don't know what they call them. They have many names. Marketing manager. Something, sha, online. The guy told me, say, Pastor, I know you are not so big on numbers online. He said, but the metrics of social media has to do with numbers. This is how I did. I was watching him in the office. Say, Pastor, we need to get your numbers up to 300,000, 400,000. He said, so that when you just put one post. And I told him, I said, you will have to guide me. Because I don't know where these people are. I don't know where these people are. He meant well. He meant well. But I think if anybody has 120 followers, he has tried. Because Jesus only had 120 at Pentecost. Which is why you find able-bodied men dancing in front of camera so that they can have approval. When you are not gay, you are dancing in front of camera. A brother like you. I can even understand the sisters. A woman being like you. At the end of the day, you see people praising you. Ah, David danced. They are dance like David danced. That's like David does. He has older, 70-year-old man. Exodus 23:22. Let's round up. Exodus 23:22. You see, what I have brought to you today may be the beginning of a quest. Because initially, when you came to God, you thought you knew why you came. But when you started staying with him, you now started realizing that why you came was not really the reason why he brought you. That encounter you had, where you heard the voice of God, and you thought it was God saying, you are anointed. Now that you've come, he will now begin to lead you by instruction. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Say, when they say you're a God of love, say, okay. You want to know me, Abby? Okay, give me that scripture. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy. Hiya. I will be an enemy. This is a good place to be. I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to who? To my adversary. But what is the key there? Obey my voice. Do all I speak. Don't leave anyone. There are two things as you go into God's presence that you must hold very dear to you. Number one is sincerity of heart. Two things that you must hold dear to you when you say you want to seek God. Number one, sincerity of heart. Number two, accuracy. Accuracy is that it's okay for you to admit that maybe certain things the Lord is bringing before you, you are struggling with them. Accuracy also means that you learn to elevate God's word over your circumstance. That if God says you are fruitful and you are a mother of children, God is not going to regard, and he doesn't expect you to regard the doctor's report. If God says you are a mother of nations, that is the only testimony that must be on your lips. Not that we have been to the doctor, they say there's nothing wrong. Hey, that scripture is very clear. He said, if you obey my voice and do all that I speak. So in the book of Psalm 110, God established that even him has enemies. And God also established that anybody who follows him, we have enemies. So don't be surprised. The reason why you may think you are weak, but the enemy has not overcome you yet. That means you have gotten to a level of strength. Because whatever does not kill you will make you strong. You know, recently, I don't think it was you, but it just occurred. What was the animal that David fought? A bear and a... Please, who knows the average height of a bear? You know, until... Sir, I didn't think about it. Etirori? Do you know how deadly the strike of a bear is? I think on this ground now, I think a baby bear will be at this, the top of, a baby bear will be the top of this roof. Please, can you check online? I need to know how, I've seen them, but a giant bear and a 70-year-old boy said, I killed a bear. It's not possible. You are lying, sir. Because you want us to ordain you. Sir, you are lying. One person cannot kill a bear at close proximity. That bear would have been like three times or four times his size. And David was a young boy. Even the strike of his claws is lethal to a lion. That, you know, this is how they move their hands. That if he swipes his hand, even a lion, Yoruba people say koni fire lo. How do you interpret that now? Help me. I need to tell those who don't understand. Huh? He will not use. No, sir. Your own is. You go feel him. If a bear strikes a lion like this, you will know something touched you. Because those claws will enter deep into your skin. Where did David learn that skill? David didn't have a gun. Say, he teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Is it possible that he did it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Is it possible that the way Samson lifted the gate of a city, it was not in his own strength? This is what happens to you when you learn how to stay. Part of the energy around God comes to you. People look at you and they think you are an angel, but no, you are just a Christian who stayed long with God. You stayed with him. Even when you go out, you quickly come back. Go to the market, you are back. You don't like to leave his friends. You have no time for petty gossip. Those are things that take you away.
I just want to talk to you about brother matters. You know, sometimes we need to be very mature.
You have left. We have left. You cannot be the only one who knows who is not dressing well. That's not your ministry. I thought about this David's matter. You see, look at everybody that God made reference to in the scripture who did great things. There seemed to be an element of strength that God put in them. If it was a Goliath that killed that bear, it would be commendable. A young boy, it was David that later told us, "He teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight." Your God understands warfare. Your God speaks the language of warfare. Your God has been fighting from the day Adam rebelled. Listen to me. There is nothing happening in your life right now that is a mystery for God. But you have to come and sit down. Sit down. Your energy is too much. It's everywhere. Sit down. Let him bring the business. Sit down. Let him restore your home. Sit down. Let him heal your body. Sit down. He said the place of your strength is to sit still. Sit still. Sit here. Sit here. Don't be everywhere. The life of a man does not consist in the abundance of things. Sit here. Sit here. I will bring these things to you. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness." He said, "And all other things, the things men are dying for, God said, I will bring it to you." What is so painful in that? Now you've gone for 10 years, 15 years, you still have not gotten it. Imagine having invested that time into God-inspired actions. God said, "Okay, right now, I want you to write a book." You get up, you write. Now I want you, there's a prophet in Unilag there that is my friend. He said he was on the mountain. He graduated with a third class. He said he was on the mountain one day. And God told him, "Come down, don't come to this mountain again. Go and collect postgraduate form." A prophet too. Because some people are angry now that me too. I want to go to school. Yeah, thank you. And he went down, he got a PGD form. And did a postgraduate, he passed. Started his master's, passed. By the time I met him, he was doing his PhD. This man prays like a CAC prophet. His wife is already a doctor, Mrs. God called him out of the mountain. I'm talking about spirit-inspired activity. Spirit-inspired activity. Okay, now go and do this. And one day we were talking, somebody, a bank manager of one of these banks in Marina, came to visit him and knelt down. In my mind, like, who is this guy? He looked like a student. It was after the brother left that he told me that he's not a student, he's the manager of So-So Bank. I said, "So, what?" He said they were going to sack him. Something happened, so they were going to sack him. And they sent him to me. He said, "I prayed for him. They restored his job, promoted him." He said, "This car that we are sitting on, he was the one who bought it for me. And told him, say, if the fuel is exhausted, call me." It seems that the people in the world know how to relate to spiritual things more. So he was telling me his story. And I saw him yesterday again. See all the gray hairs from writing research papers. See, but the one who told you leave the mountain can teach your hands to war and your fingers to fight. Out of everybody in his set, he was the only one admitted for a PhD. But he has spent years on the mountain praying. Years! But when God called him, God empowered him. Why not take one step that gives you years ahead.
I've decided. I'd rather be wrong with following God.
Jesus said, come unto me, all you that have labored and are heavy laden. Say, I, Jesus, I will give you rest. If I can get two people who are tired of running up and down and just want to drop everything and sit down with God. If I can get two people, we would have had a great day. I don't think it's easy, because God called other people, but they could not sit with him. They wanted to do so much. They wanted to possess the world. They could not stay, and the world swallowed them. Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Jesus is still the one who sits at the right hand of God, establishing your victory, fighting your battles. The reason why you can call that name today and it delivers is because there is somebody at the other end standing with you. For those of you that have strayed far, today is a good day to come back home. It doesn't matter, you may even be a pastor, but you may be backsliding. Most backsliders don't even know they are backsliding. If we can get a few people today, we will say, Lord, I want to build my life on the rock. Because the scripture clearly states in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29, it says, for God gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he continues to increase their strength. Therefore, if there is anyone this morning who is tired and sick of being tired, then you are welcome to the city of refuge. Increased strength. That means there is such a thing as increasing strength. I don't always have to be tired. I don't always have to be stressed. While I increase strength, I will outgrow that cancer. I will outgrow that sickness. Because it's causing me to increase in strength. I'm no longer weak, because it causes me to increase in strength. They said to me in the office, you are dull of mind. You are not sharp. You are giving wrong ideas. But no, it's causing me to increase in strength. It gives power to the faint. I want you to bow your heads and pray this morning. I want you to pray and receive increasing strength. Receive increasing strength. It gives power to the faint. If you are tired, this is your moment to talk to your Father. If you have been pushed on every side, this is your moment to talk to God right now. This is your moment. Open your mouth and talk to him and ask for strength. He said he giveth power to the faint. If you are gasping for breath, this is your moment.
ask for strength.
So the people shall be willing in the day of his power.
The people shall be willing in the day of his power.
Today is the day of God's power. Therefore, there is a stirring of willingness. There is a stirring of willingness. Willingness to sit with God again. Willingness to seek him again. Willingness to begin to worship him again. Willingness to live a holy life again. Willingness to go out and win souls again. Willingness to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. There is a willingness today that is rising from the hearts of men.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now, if you are here and you are yet to become a committed follower of Jesus Christ, you say his name, you call his name, but you know in your heart of heart that he is not your Lord. I would like to pray with you. If you will please rise to your feet, I would like to say a prayer and lead you back to the cross. If you are there, wave your hands to me. If you are there and you know that Jesus is not in your heart, this is your moment. I won't stay too long here. If you are there, just raise your hands. I won't stay here for too long. Now, if you know right now, that you have turned away from the Lord, and you are backsliding, and you are struggling, and you are tired of this state, I want you to also rise. I would like to pray with you. If you know in your heart of heart, that you have backsliding, don't resist the Lord. If you know that is you, rise on your feet and receive help from God. Say, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.